Hello, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 19th of March 2010, and I'm honored to be joined on the line once again by Bob Chapman, market analyst, political commentator, and the man behind the International Forecaster newsletter at theinternationalforecaster.com. Mr. Chapman, thank you for joining me once again.
It is my pleasure. It's always wonderful to be here.
And it's always wonderful to have you. And Mr. Chapman, it seems like this was just not the bankster's week. And there have been a number of startling revelations coming out this week. And I want to start with a rather surprising story that opens the latest edition of the newsletter. And that involves the Attorney General of Connecticut holding Moody's and Standard & Poor's feet to the fire over their falsified debt ratings. Why don't you tell us about this story?
Well, the big question is, why didn't it happen 2.5 years ago? And why, and I have constituents probing the Attorney General on this in Connecticut, and why he didn't file criminal charges. And, you know, this is what this really is. This is fraud, criminal fraud. We're talking about something in the vicinity of perhaps $1.5 trillion in mislabeled bonds, which contained mortgages and pieces of mortgages known as collateralized debt obligations and MBS and a number of other things. And they deliberately, in concert with the investment banking firms, the brokerage firms, and the banks, created AAA ratings for a number of issues, if not almost all of them, when in fact they were BBB, the difference between a 10 and a 4. And as a result, we see our Federal Reserve in the United States purchasing these from some of the holders, some $1.2 trillion worth, which the American taxpayer has to be responsible for. And the Federal Reserve won't tell us what they're paying, and they won't tell us who they're buying them from. And they say it's a state secret. Well, I don't think it's a state secret. I think they started and guided this whole plan in the first place. And of course, Richard Blumenthal, the AG in Connecticut, doesn't want to pursue that course because he's going to run for Mr. Dodd's seat, which is being vacated. And so I think he's gone forward, whereas he should, civilly, but really he should be pursuing it criminally. And, you know, my question is, where is the Justice Department? Where is the Federal Bureau of Investigation? Where was the SEC? Probably hiding out as they usually are. And where are the AGs from the rest of the states? I mean, they should attack like a great herd of buffalo on these people. I mean, this is out and out, first rate, in your face crime.
It certainly is. It's absolutely on its face. It's a criminal activity. So it's really incredible that this isn't a criminal suit and it is just a civil suit. But it is still, I guess, good that this is at least starting to come out. Although, as you say, it should have been 3 years ago that they knew about this and knew that it was going on. And if this had have been brought 3 years ago, we could have headed off at the pass the collapse that began with these collateralized debt obligations, these worthless junk bonds being passed off as AAA paper. So,
you know, Jim, there's hundreds of people involved in this, and these are top people in those institutions. And that, in the United States, as the creator of these toxic vehicles, as they're called, they're being protected. And my question is, 60% of this paper went to Europe. And they do have attorneys in Europe, and they do know how to read, and they do know when they read a contract what's in it. And there's been no question, civilly or criminally, from any European state. And I can't help but think that situation didn't arise because I think that maybe the Federal Reserve has covertly given them some kind of guarantees that they'll be made whole. And because we can't audit and investigate the Federal Reserve until pending legislation is passed, if it does get passed, how can we find out what they've done? The Federal Reserve not only should be investigated, and that's just step one, because we're going to find out all of these things that they've been doing, including their participation in illegal acts in the markets, particularly in gold and silver. And the Federal Reserve should, again, become a subsidiary of the Treasury Department. And that revolving door between Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and the Treasury Department and other departments in our government, as well as the Federal Reserve, should be terminated.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's so obviously on its face a criminal cabal that has wormed its way into these positions of power, and it's staggering when one stops and thinks that really the only thing that this Audit the Fed movement is asking at the moment is just to see the books, just to see what's been done in the name of the U.S. taxpayers. And the fact that they're denying that to U.S. taxpayers speaks volumes in and of itself. But this all ties in with a recent story that came out this week. Unfortunately, not good news for the U.S. It came out in New York Times, March 15th, 2010. Moody's says U.S. debt could test AAA rating. And, of course, it's talking about possibly downgrading the AAA-rated United States Treasury bonds. Another startling sign of the precipitous decline of the U.S. economy. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this and what it means for the possible U.S. economy?
They're going to reduce the ratings on a number of countries. And if you look at the debt structure of the United States, if you know anything about finance at all, that they're broke. And they're raising about $50 billion a week. And that's a lot of money. And foreigners are starting to hold back. At the beginning of 2009, the figure for foreign exchange holdings in dollars was 64.5% of total assets in foreign exchange and gold for foreign nations. And now it's 60.5% is the last figure that I've been able to glean. So they have been sellers. And in February, Japan sold $300 million. They didn't buy. And China sold $5.8 billion. They didn't buy. Last year, although the Fed refuses to give these figures out, we backed into a figure that would give us 80% of treasuries issued were purchased by the U.S. Federal Reserve. And that, of course, is monetization, and that, of course, is inflationary. But under the circumstances of this deflationary undertow which exists in America, there has been a little bit more inflation than deflation. My figures are around 7.5%. Real inflation with the government's 2.5 to 3. And I think that could easily jump up to 14% by the time the year's out. But getting back to the obligations of the United States government, the American people, they just raised the debt limit to $14.3 trillion. That's for short term. Long term, it's $105 trillion that we have to fulfill unless we change the programs such as Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And Social Security is now asking government to redeem bonds to give them enough money to make payments because they have a shortfall. The revenues decreased, and of course they're getting interest out of those bonds, which incidentally are non-negotiable. The only party that can buy those bonds is the federal government. And so you have all these pulls on the federal government, a fiscal deficit just this year, ending this coming September, $1.6 trillion, and maybe much more than that for all we know. And the projection by the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, and of $9.7 trillion over the next 9 to 10 years is onerous. And we're looking at a preposterous amount of money that is going to have to come from someplace in order to service old debt and create new debt, because politicians refuse to balance the budget. And there's one more factor here. We're looking at 0.75% for money from the Fed to the banks. If that goes up to 1.25%, and I think it will before the year's out, I think we're looking at a U.S. T-note yield of about 5% up from 3.7%. And if that were to happen, the cost of money to the Treasury would probably be in the vicinity of, on the short-term basis, of about 2%. And that 1.25% increase would relate to an additional $120 billion in interest. And I'll throw this out to you. At 5%, it's an addition of $640 billion in interest. So what happens when interest rates go up, the cost becomes exponential.
Exactly. And it's kind of it's kind of mind-boggling to think of those numbers, but it all is put into perspective when we realize that these debt obligations of the United States government are really fraudulent and have not been accrued by the U.S. taxpayers themselves, but by the government, which has been usurped by these criminal parasites at the top. And an exciting, extremely exciting event happened in Iceland just last week when, by a referendum, the people of Iceland decided that they, in fact, do not owe the incredible sums of money that were racked up in the name of the Icelandic taxpayers, and they have decided not to pay the banks. Basically, the Icelanders are now claiming that private banks owe the money to other private banks, not the taxpayers. So an incredible and very hopeful sign in Iceland. And I think people need to have their eye on that situation, as well as what's going on in Greece with the rioting there. What do you think, how do you think this plays into the system that we're looking at in North America?
It could be a benchmark. 380,000 people told Great Britain and Holland to take a hike. They had no involvement in what private banks did, and why should they be asked to pay for it? Now, of course, the British, I know how they think, and the next step will be they'll start shutting down services to Iceland. They'll attempt to keep Iceland from operating within the European economy by trying to put limitations on their transfers of funds using a SWIFT code. And I've talked to presidents of other nations who have been muscled by the U.S., and the next thing that comes up is keeping them from using computer information, telephones, postal, airlines, etc. I think Iceland, they're going to start putting pressure on them. And I think it's the stupidest thing that Great Britain and Holland could do, because it'll expose them for the tyrants that they really are. I mean, they had no right to ask these people to pay for anything. But because they're bigger and they have armies and things like that, the Icelandic people, they figured, will heal for them. When in fact 93% of them told them they're not going to pay.
Exactly, an incredible and hopeful sign, and we can only hope that this is the sign of things to come, but we definitely have to keep our eye on how this develops, because there's no doubt that there's going to be retaliation from the big guns over this.
And that's the way these large, powerful nations act, and always have.
Unfortunately true. How about what's happening in Greece?
Well, I think anybody who's been in a watchful position in Europe and externally knew, and I wrote about this 15 years ago, that Greece and Italy did not qualify. And so the Eurozone, as it formed, looked the other way and allowed them in. They knew that the books had been falsified. And so here we get the chickens are coming home to roost. The problem is that why was it pulled out at that specific time? I didn't know what was going on, but I did know that they were tremendous long dollar positions that had been put on by Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and others. And I couldn't figure out what they were up to until I saw the Greece episode appear. And it was done to strengthen the dollar. It was done to take the euro down. And the Europeans wanted the euro down because it makes them easier for them to compete. And there are large exporters of manufactured goods. And so, you know, they look the other way, too. It's okay by them. And I think it's also a signal. There are 19 nations on the verge of collapse. These are nations of substance. And I think that what they're going to do is take down all of these nations together, and there'll be more than that by the time they get there. When will this happen? A couple of years from now, probably. And next year would be probably a good time to do it, if not the following year. And I think they're going to have another Smithsonian-type meeting, which they had in the 70s, the Plaza Accord in 85, the Louvre Accord in 87. And I think what they're going to do is devalue officially currencies, probably on a one-for-three basis, and one new one for three old ones in their own currency. I think they'll also have a multilateral default, probably for 30 cents on the dollar. In other words, United States, you owe all this money, you'll pay 30 cents and we'll write the rest of it off. I also think they'll jettison the dollar as the international reserve currency, and they will introduce a G20 currency, which would be a trading unit weighted based upon each currency within the 20 in an index, so that there would be a benchmark for people to trade goods and services. And I think that's going to come about as well. So that's where I think we're heading with this. But I think it's going to be followed, once they have their meeting, by a deflationary depression, and it could last for years.
So let's flesh out that G20 benchmark currency idea a little bit more. So you're saying that each individual country would retain its individual currency, but that international trade would be facilitated by a weighted benchmark currency? Like what kind of
trading unit?
Okay.
I don't think they'd call it a currency.
Right.
They'll try to use the SDR, but the SDR is just another fiat currency, which it is what they want it to be. And it has no backing. And so it's just another excuse for having another dollar, U.S. dollar. And so that's not going to work either. Remember, they started using SDRs in 1967, and they were an abysmal failure. And that was the year they started to rig the gold market, I mind you, illegally, and put pressure. In fact, in September of 1968, and you remember I've been doing this for 50 years, something happened that had never happened before in modern stock market times. The stock market fell in October and fell hard. And the gold shares and gold went down with it. And that's because they were in the market as sellers. And, of course, we didn't know that at the time because it was illegal, but they were doing it anyway. And at the same time, the IMF sold gold. Then 10 years later, the IMF sold gold again, unsuccessfully, in trying to drive the price of gold down. And so they have been doing these kinds of things with currencies that were fiat at the time, the SDR, and eventually on August the 15th, 1971, they closed the gold window in the United States and the U.S. dollar became a fiat currency.
I hesitate to bring it up, but I think it needs to come out at some point. For people who are arguing for gold as money, it strikes me that for at the very least the last 40 years, if not longer, the gold market has been one of the most cornered and manipulated markets on the face of the earth. So I'm wondering how we can transition to a gold as money system, knowing that the entire gold market is so heavily manipulated.
Well, that's easy to change. Get rid of the Federal Reserve. They're the ones who are behind the machinations along with the U.S. Treasury. And you can solve that by doing away with the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which is used by the Treasury, which is part of the Treasury, which has probably about $800 billion in a 20-to-1 ratio. They can have a lot of money on any given day to buy or sell gold with. And so you have to do away with the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which was instituted in 1935 in order to facilitate the strength of the dollar in the middle of a depression. And that was part of the Bank for International Settlements movement at that time. And interestingly enough, it included Nazi Germany, who remained a member of the BIS all the way through the Second World War, or until the end of the Second World War. And then after things changed, they rejoined under different aegis. But the point here is that if you don't have the Federal Reserve involved in manipulating the gold market, and they are, believe me, and Bernanke recently lied to Congress about it, and you forbid the Treasury to manipulate the gold market, and you do away with the executive order signed by Ronald Reagan in 1988 as a result of the October the 1987 crash in the stock market, the Working Group on Financial Markets, you do away with that. You don't allow them to engage in manipulating free markets. And when that happens, gold will go based upon real inflation. Since the top on gold at 850 in 1980, I have a figure now of $7,050. John Williams is just a shade under $7,500 as the real value of gold. The official value is $2,300 and we'll say $2,400 to make it easy. And it just shows you how they lie about their numbers. And that's where the gold is going. And that's the reason why it's going there.
Right. So basically, if we can extract the claws of government from the gold market, we would see the real price, and it would become quite evident just how much our economic reality has been skewed.
It's going to also happen, the bond and stock markets. The stock market is being levitated by the president's Working Group on Financial Markets, euphemistically known as the Plunge Protection Team. And there are other markets, such as the commodity market and foreign markets they're engaged in. These people are working 24/7. They have thousands of people rigging markets, which is insanity.
That's right.
Only fascist governments would do such things.
Exactly. And I mean it's called the Plunge Protection Team, but that's only if it's in their interest to protect from a plunge. And it can be the Plunge Creation Team if that's in their interest. So
yes.
It is definitely
in the case of the stock market, it is. I mean, some very venerable writers beside myself, and venerable being another word for old, have expressed the same thing. And that is Richard Russell, who just recently called for the Dow at 1,000, and Joe Granville. Those are the two most successful market timers in the last 50 years. And I know Richard, but Joe is a very good friend of mine, and I didn't speak with him on this, but they're right. I think the gold market's going to go down because this hold is going to be broken. And when it happens, it's going to be absolutely stultifying, because every market in the world is going to go down. And if somebody thinks there's going to be a decoupling, they live in la-la land, because every nation is going to be affected negatively. I mean, if we went from 10,800 to 1,000, every other nation, if they had the same standard, would at least go down to 5,000. I mean, that's the best they could hope for. And so the whole world is going to be punished for what the United States and the United Kingdom and other profligate nations have created. And I think there's a lot more than just 19. I just haven't gone into all the numbers. But, you know, we may be talking about 125 nations going under. I mean, who knows? And that's why I think all currencies are going to be devalued, because everybody wants a level footing. And there'll be tariffs in every country, and rightly so. I mean, people got to live. And you can't compete with slave labor countries. I just got a letter this morning from someone who works from a major corporation, and you'll see it in the next issue, and subscriber, and they're firing people left and right, and they're holding all the H-1B people because they're paying them half as much. Slave labor being imported into America to throw Americans out of jobs. What kind of insanity is this? Corporate America, aren't they rich enough as it is?
You would think so. Well, it certainly is a system that's weighted against the people, and people gotta live is a motto that I think the people running the system don't have at heart. But there was another incredible story that came out this week that I wanted to touch on with you, and that was related to the Lehman Brothers collapse in 2008. And there was an audit that just came out by Anton Valakis, who's the U.S. trustee in the Lehman Brothers case. And this audit found that Lehman executives carried out, quote, materially misleading, quote, unquote, accounting tricks that hid billions of dollars from regulators. And it was basically a giant scheme that they were running, which was known internally as Repo 105, where $50 billion of toxic assets were taken off of the books momentarily just during times where they were being audited to make it look like they were flush with cash, but in fact they were drowning in this toxic debt, and eventually it caught up with them. But there's absolutely no doubt that the people who were supposed to be overseeing this were very much complicit in this scheme and were keeping it afloat, including, of course, New York Fed head at the time, Timothy Geithner, who was massively derelict in his duties, to say the very least. So what's your take on this story?
Financial fraud, criminal fraud. Geithner should be charged. All the top management at the former Lehman Brothers should be charged. But, you know, they're among the elite insiders. They don't get charged because they own everybody, including our Congress, for that matter. And so that's the way the system works. There's two sets of justice, one for the Illuminists and one for us. And if you and I do that, we go to jail. Or if they don't like us, they might even bring charges which are bogus against us to try to put us in jail or stop us from doing what we're doing in the field of journalism. I mean, I put up with, you have no idea with, since 1967. And I quite frankly think it's a wonder I'm still alive. And there's reasons for that. I happen to outsmart them all the time. But the point is, complicit is a nice word. But the SEC knew all about it. And they allowed it to happen, just like the Madoff caper. And those people who were in charge of the SEC, when these things were going down, they should all be brought up under criminal prosecution. And it's never going to happen because they own the system. But it doesn't keep us from saying that. And this was all criminal.
That's right. And it's not just the government that was aiding and abetting this scheme. It was also the, with Enron, we had Arthur Andersen, and with Lehman Brothers, we had, it was one of the other big ones. Its name is escaping me at the moment.
Ernst Winnie.
That's right, yeah.
And that's the way it is. And until this hold is broken, they're going to continue to do what they want to do. There's no constitution. There's no courts. They own it all. Now, how do you stop them? You throw 95% of the people who are sitting in Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate, right now in November, out of office and start with a new slate in hope that you can get legislation passed quickly enough within a year before they get bought off. And it's the only chance legally that we have. And if that does not work, and then that does not happen, there will be revolution in America. And if the government thinks that our military is going to shoot American civilians, they're crazy. they're the ones who are going to finally get trotted off to jail and be tried for what they've done civilly and criminally. And we'll put an end to this absolutely abominable situation where Americans have lost their freedom and their country to a cabal of thieves.
One can only imagine why this hasn't caused revolution in the streets yet, but what do you think of the chances of them throwing someone out like Geithner to the wolves, or even just pretending to throw him to the wolves and then giving him a cush job somewhere in the, you know, once he's off the radar?
And I'll tell you why it won't work. In the last 5 years, talk radio and the internet have absolutely destroyed the plans of the Illuminati. And they had a chance to turn back in June of 2003 and allow a recession, maybe even a depression at that time, and they chose not to. They went to another bubble, and that was real estate. And they extended everything out another 10 years, if you may, approximately, and they were buying time, and there's no more bubbles. I mean, people can say they would be, but they're not going to have the import of stock market collapses and real estate collapses because they affect so many people, particularly real estate and the average person. And, you know, you're dealing with 21.8% real unemployment right now, and it's not going to get better unless there's another perhaps $800 billion stimulus package before the election and the Fed starts re-liquefying. Now, I've seen two sets of figures on the Fed, and they still are increasing money supply by 16%, and that's down from 17.4%, and what they were doing, they were pulling two sections of what they normally include out of the statistics that they were releasing. And so with that said, this business of deleting liquidity from the international system, and particularly the American system, is undoable, unless they want a deflationary depression, and they may want that. And we're going to have to wait through this year and next year to see which direction they're going to go in. But the United States economy cannot survive in its present state without a continual injection of perhaps $2 or $3 trillion a year in fiat creation just to survive. It is impossible. And so the minute it stops, the game is over.
And just that injection of $2 to $3 trillion is going to be inflationary, and there's going to be a breaking point with that as well. There's just no way that it can be maintained indefinitely.
At the rate they're going, if they continue to do what they're doing and extend the program that they've got, policy that they have in process, we could be looking at $30,000 or $40,000 gold before this thing collapses. That's why gold and silver are the only place in the world that you have any protection whatsoever. I mean, yes, you can go to other currencies. The two strongest currencies in the world right now are the Canadian dollar and the Swiss franc, but they have been going down against gold, like all other currencies, for 7 years, and that will continue. Maybe they won't go down as much. Maybe they'll be the best of a bad lot. That's okay. But the point is, the ultimate investment today, and the proof of the pudding is in the last 11 years, where gold went up every year and nobody talked about it, and we've got subscribers who bought stocks at 80 cents that are selling for $30, and they still own them, and they've never traded them, because there's no sense in doing so, because what are you going to get for them, more fiat dollars? And people who bought coins at $500 and $600 each that are selling for $1,800. That's the answer.
What percentage would you say would be good for people to have in terms of physical gold and paper?
30% in physical, 70% in paper. Physical silver is very heavy, so it's detrimental to having lots and lots of it. And coins you should have in a number of ways. You should have bullion coins in different denominations, and you should have mint-state-graded numismatic coins because they are limited in supply. And the last time they performed very, very well, that was 78 to 81. The shares between 78 and 81 went up 40, 40, times what bullion did. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that again, but supposing they go up 5 to 10 times, that's a heck of a lot more gain than you would make just in bullion itself. And so that's why I like the shares, and it will happen. To the degree that it'll happen, I don't know. But I know they will outperform. So what do? When you get close to the top of the market, like in 1936, when Homestake went from $30 to $636 an ounce, you sell it and you buy gold.
Exactly. Pretty so you simple. Get out of the paper and you get into the physical. Yeah.
That's right. Makes and that's sense. What the International Forecaster was founded on, protecting people, helping them. We got them out of the real estate market at the top. I mean, can you imagine the pain that we save people, financially and otherwise? We got them into gold and silver in June of 1980. You know, June of 2000, right at the bottom.
Mm.
And they're still long. I mean, there's no reason to sell.
Yeah, there really
isn't.
And
incidentally, we counsel everybody, whether they're subscribers or not. If they need help, they email, and we try to tell them what to do. And if it's complicated, I will call them, and we don't charge anything for it. Nor do we receive one penny from anybody from doing anything except our subscribers who pay $159.95 a year in a publication that should be selling for $800 a year.
It certainly
should. The only reason I keep it down is because I want people, regular people, to be able to afford it.
Well, it just for people out there who haven't actually taken a look at the International Forecaster, it's 20, 25, 40 pages sometimes, and this is coming out twice a week. It's an incredible amount of information coming out, and it's absolutely just great. And I'd like to plug that a little bit more at the end, but just to sort of summarize what we've been talking about today, we've talked about the tentative steps by the AG to start looking at the debt rating agencies. We've taken a look at the people of Iceland fending off the banksters from Britain. We've taken a look at the Lehman Brothers scandal and how that's coming out in the wash. So are there any other terrible pieces of news for the banksters / great pieces of news for the people out there that we haven't really touched on that's come out this week?
Well, we had a gentleman, if I can loosely call him that, who's a financier who was the financial one in charge for Hillary Clinton and then John Kerry, who is going to be sentenced to perhaps up to 15 years for fraudulent doings in relation to collateral for loans and things like this. And because he's connected, I'm sure he'll get 3 years instead, and he'll probably do it at a place, one of these jails where they send people who are connected or do high-quality white-collar crimes, if you may.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll probably only serve three-quarters of his sentence. And then, you know, we look at Warren Buffett. His firm, Berkshire Hathaway, a month ago, Berkshire paid a $100 million fine for financial fraud. What they did is they defrauded in an insurance subsidiary $200 million. And so they get to keep half, and they have to give half to the government. And it went in and out of the news. They tripped this connected illuminist out on CNBC virtually every day to tell the world everything's going to be okay. And he's in on it. And this guy should be in jail. You know, and every time I talk about it on major radio and television, they try to shut me up. And I'm not going to shut up.
I'm not going to try to shut you up. I'd like you to say more.
And I'll tell you, I don't know what's going on in the minds of the American people. Can't they read? I mean, it was in national media. Of course, it was quickly taken out. But these are the kind of things that are going on. They really get me. And they've gotten me ever since I was a kid. I mean, things are supposed to be fair in life, or relatively so. And that's not being fair. The man should be doing 15 years.
Well, it is a terrible time for people who do have a sense of honor and duty and privilege and obligation and all of the things that our forefathers fought for, to see these scoundrels who are really in charge of the system right now getting away with so much and plundering trillions of dollars from the real economy into their own pockets. And it is a terrible thing to see, but it's also very heartening to see the people beginning to stir and beginning to rise to counter this. So whatever we see coming along down in the next few years, it will be interesting times, to say the least. So I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse, but it's something. Well, let's talk a little bit about the International Forecaster then. For people who haven't encountered it before, tell us about what it is, when it comes out, and how they can get their hands on it.
The Forecaster has been in existence about a little over 20 years. And prior to that, I was a stockbroker for 28 years and owned my own firm for many of those years. The Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, social and political issues all over the world. We publish via email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually runs around 40 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the internet. And you can get a free introductory copy, a current copy. In fact, if you send in today, you'd get tomorrow's copy, which goes out on Saturday. I mention that because a lot of firms send out something 3 months old, which I don't think really helps people to get a better picture of their publication. But be as it may, you can go to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. If you have a question or want a copy, you go to our email address, bob@intforecaster.com, bob@intforecaster.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188.
Well, Bob Chapman, it is always a pleasure attacking, engaging, and destroying the scoundrels in government and in the systems of control over our economy with you. So once again, thank you very much for joining me today.
It is certainly my pleasure.